Today we're going to think about power. What do you think of when you think of power? I think of natural things like Niagara Falls, you know, or tornadoes, or floods, or fires. There's been a lot of that in the news. Or you think about powerful animals. What's the most powerful animal you think of? Lion, elephant, yeah. Or powerful people, you know, like the President of the United States, or like our military. By the way, the only thing I guess I really did like that video at the beginning. I was a little worried about it being Marines, but then those of us in the Army weren't sure Marines could be saved. And so that was really a good video. How many of you guys served in the Marines? I'll be in trouble, all right? We'll talk about it later. But anyway, we're going to think about the power that God has and that power is available to us. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. We're just going to look at two verses, the last two verses of the chapter, 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul ends with a prayer here. It began back in verse 14. We looked at part of it last week. And the prayer ends with a doxology, a song of praise, a hymn or a prayer of praise in those two verses, in which he praises God for the glory that he has. And he gives glory to God for the power that he has. And he gives glory to God for that power because it's available to us. That's the amazing thing about this passage. It's God's power, but it's available to us. So listen to this word of praise from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, today as we look at these just two simple verses, this simple prayer of praise, help us to recognize how much power you have and how that power is available to us for all that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the beginning of verse 20, the first thing you see is that God is all-powerful. It starts off by a little statement that he's able to do. That one little word that's translated there, able, is the word from which we get words like dynamite, which is power, or dynamo, which is the source of power. And so it's saying God is the source of all power. God is able. And he says, really, there's nothing that God's not able to do. Because what does he say? God is able to do far more abundantly or exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Again, there's just really only one word behind that far more abundantly in the original language, and it has the idea of hyperabundant, of overflowing abundance. He says God's power is not just exceeding. Power is not just abundant, but it's flowing over the top. It's more power than we could ever imagine. And that's what he says, right? It's more power than you could ever ask for or that you could ever imagine. Luther said, we ask for silver, God gives us gold. It'd be more like we ask for a hot dog and God gives us a steak. It's more than we could ever ask for, more than we could ever imagine. We need to think a little bit about the scope of God's power today, don't we? God doesn't work on the same level that we do. Think about God's power. We sang a little bit about it in the last song. You know, Jesus has the power to heal incurable diseases, change the leper spot. He has the power, that's the biggest power, to change the heart of stone, to change people's hearts. God is all-powerful. It's hard for us to imagine that. We all have limits to our power, right? God is immortal. He doesn't have a beginning or an end. We're mortal creatures. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. Some of us think we know everything, but God actually knows everything. God is omnipresent. That's a fancy word for saying, I warned somebody I was going to use big words this morning, okay? But that means that God is everywhere at once. He's not limited by time or space. I can only be here right now. You can only be there. God can be anywhere, everywhere, all at the same time. It's hard for us to understand. His power is beyond our comprehension, and it's because he created all of this. He made all of this. This week I finally watched all of that movie, God Is Not Dead. Many of you have seen it. And one of the things in the movie, they talk about how even secular scientists believe in a Big Bang. And they say sometime in the past, there was nothing, and then in just a few seconds, all that we know as the universe came into creation. They don't know how that happened, but we do, don't we? God said, let there be light, and there was light. God, we can't imagine the power of God. So God is all powerful. Now, God's power could be a dreadful thing, couldn't it? I mean, like if you go back and read Greek mythology, their gods were powerful, but they were kind of capricious. You never knew what they were going to do from one day to the next. And they were selfish, so if it suited their needs, they would do something mean to other people or to other gods if it suited their needs. They didn't have any character. But God's not like that, is he? Or you think about some of the pagan religions today where they see spirits and everything, and they're afraid of those spirits. You know, they try to appease them with sacrifices or by doing the right thing. They're afraid of God. But God's not dreadful. God's power is not dreadful, is it? God loved us so much, what, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins? God loves us so much that he gave his very best for us. He wants what's best for us. The good news is that God's power is always for our benefit. Now, sometimes we don't see that because we're going the wrong way. You know, and just like parents, sometimes God has to kind of turn us back, has to correct us. But God's power is never something dreadful, never something to be afraid of, never thinking he's just going to get even with us, because God wants what's best for us. God is all powerful, and sometimes we just forget that. Just remember this part here. It says, he is able. That's all you have to remember. God is able. Is there anything that comes into your life that God's not able to deal with it? The answer is no. Is there anything that happens in the world that God's not able to deal with it? The answer is no. God is able. There's a story told about a little boy. He was riding the airplane by himself going to see his grandparents. And he sat down next to a guy, and he was reading some literature he got in Sunday school, and the guy next to him was a seminary professor. So he challenged the little boy. He said, I'll give you a piece of candy if you can just tell me that something God can do. The little boy looked at him. He said, I tell you what, I'll give you a whole store of candy if you'll tell me something God can't do. God is able. There isn't anything he can't do. His power is beyond our comprehension. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think. Now that's good news, but the more amazing news is the next part of this verse, where it says that that power is available to us, that that power works within us. God can do anything, but he chooses to work through us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that blows my mind. Here's an infinite, all-powerful God, and he chooses to work through us. God is all-powerful. We're weak. God is holy and just, and we're sinful. God is all-knowing, and we're dumb sometimes. I mean, think about our limitations, and yet God chooses to work through us. Isn't that what he says? He says he's able to do far more abundantly than beyond all we ask or think. How? According to the power that works within us. God chooses to exercise his power through you and through me. That's how God chooses to work. Now, he does that individually, and we talked about that more last week when we talked about we find strength for living through the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And he does that corporately as a church, and that's really the focus of these two verses. It's really plural. He works through us, through all of us. I don't know how do you say that. You say y'all, but you can't say all of us y'all. I don't know how that works. He works through all of us, okay? Somebody help me out with that. All you guys. Yeah, Oh yeah. My sister lives in South Carolina, says the plural of y'all is all y'all. He works through all of us. He works through us. In fact, you see that in verse 21. We're going to get to that in a minute, but the focus is on the church. He works through the church. So when he says that power is working within us, he's talking about not only individually, but together as a church. Now, I think that's important because I've heard it said, and I believe that it's true, that people are not looking for a church where people are doing good things. They're looking for a church where God is at work. And I think that's absolutely true. So then it raises the question, what does a church look like where God is at work? How would we know if God's at work in our church? Now, some people think that's got to be something spectacular, that God's not at work unless you see some spectacular miracle, like there's a flashing light from heaven or the building shakes. God has worked in that way in the past, and he does today, but that's not necessarily how God is at work. How is God at work? How would we know if God is at work among us? How would we know if God's power is working among us? Well, I suggest the better question is, what's happening in our church that can only be explained by the power of God? What's happening in our church that can only be explained by the power of God? And here, I think, is the answer. The answer is changed lives. When people come to know Jesus and their lives are changed, that's only the power of God. When believers become more and more like Jesus every day, their lives are changed, their hearts are changed, that's only through the power of God. If you want to know if God's at work, you see how our lives being changed. Had a guy come to church one time and I asked him, well, your guest, why did you come today? He said, I wanted to see a church that could get Larry Corwin to come to church. I need to tell you the story. Larry was an alcoholic. He would admit to that. He had not been in church since he was a little kid, went to Sunday school. He hadn't been in church as an adult. He was in his mid-40s, never been to church, never showed any signs of being a Christian or interested in Christian things. In fact, he was basically anti-Christian. And God got a hold of him and changed him and brought him into our church. We didn't do anything. God did that. And somebody else came to our church because he wanted to see God at work. And that's what he said. He said, I wanted to see a church that could get Larry Corwin to go to church. Who is it in your life that you can't imagine that they would possibly come to church? God can change them. We can't change them. I can't change them. You can't change them. But God can change them. And then we'll know that the power of God is at work. Does that make sense? Let's look for where God's working in people's lives. God's at work in our church. God is changing people. And he chooses to do it through the church. I mean, God could work without the church, but he chooses to do it through the church, doesn't he? How does he bring redemption? Through our witness. We share the good news. People come to know Jesus. How does he bring growth and discipleship? We teach. We train. How does he do ministry? It's our hands and our feet that do the ministry. Here's the last thing I would say. You really want to see change? We really want to see change? If we begin to pray, we'll see God do things we just couldn't think or imagine because his power is at work. And we tap that through prayer. How much do we limit God's power among us because we just can't think or imagine it? How much do we limit God's power among us because we just can't see it happening? We need to remember that he works exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ever think or imagine according to his power that works within us. Again, I think that's good news. God can do anything. He chooses to work through us, his people. So how do we respond? Well, that's the last thing in verse 21. God alone deserves the glory. He says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Now, glory, you know what glory is. It's just magnificence or honor or praise. He's just saying God gets the praise. God gets the honor. We use the word doxology all the time. That comes from the word here for glory. Or praise. And the interesting thing to me, he says, I wouldn't expect this to say this, but the Bible says, to him be the glory in the church. Now, it's not surprising that he says that God the Father is going to be glorified in Jesus, because wherever Jesus is proclaimed and people follow Jesus, God is glorified. But he says, first of all, to him be the glory in the church. Now, how is God glorified in the church? Well, that's the thing we've been talking about. When we allow God to work through us in the church, God gets the praise. When God demonstrates his power through his church, God is glorified. He's glorified and honored and praised by the people in the church, and he's glorified and honored by the praise of people that are watching from outside the church. See, the question is, when good things happen, do we glorify God or do we glorify ourselves? When God does something great, do we say, oh man, didn't we do a good job as a church? Or do we say, boy, didn't God do something in our midst today? Who do we glorify, God or ourselves? Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that you do your good works, and through your good, I'm paraphrasing, Let me get it right. Let your light so shine before men that as you do your good works, they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's not how it goes. Okay, I've misquoted it. Okay, those of you that know, it's Matthew 5:16. Look it up and learn to quote it right. I'm a bad example. But what does he say? He says, when we do our good works, it's not to glorify ourselves, but it's to glorify the Father in heaven. When people see our good deeds, when we shine our light, it's not to glorify ourselves, but it's so people glorify the Father in heaven. So how do we do that as a church? How do we allow God's power to work in us? Well, I think that the question really again is God being praised by what's happening among us? Are things happening among us that can only be attributed to the work and power of God? We know that God's being glorified in Jesus, like it says here. We know that God's going to be glorified in Jesus to all generations forever and ever, for eternity. God's going to be praised through Jesus for eternity. But he's going to be praised through eternity through his people, the church, as well. And he should be praised through his people, the church, right now when we allow God to work through us. Now, I think we are. When I look at our church, I see God at work. When I look at our church, I see God getting the glory. I don't see people saying, well, look at the good job I did. So I want to say to you that I think that that's something that we do well. I want to compliment you on that. But we just need to continue to ask ourselves. We just need to continue to hold our own feet to the fire. Is God at work among us? Are we doing what we can do? Or are we letting God work? Are we seeing things happen that we couldn't do in our own strength that only God can do? And when that happens, are we taking the credit? Or are we saying, no, to God be the glory? I guess there's two different ways to look at it. Let me tell you just two stories. There's a story told about a man that tried to go to church and he wasn't dressed right and he wasn't the right color, and so they didn't let him in the church. And his friend said, well, aren't you sad you couldn't go to that church? And he said, no, not really, because I don't think God's been there in a long time. But a true story, a young man named Ken, and he said to us, wow, I hate to miss church on Sunday because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something that God is doing. That's the church we want to be, the church where people are afraid to miss because they might miss out on something God is doing. And when that happens, God will be glorified. And we can sing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. It says, come to the Father through Jesus, his son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. God is powerful, more powerful than we can ever imagine. And he exercises that power through us, his church. So today I would say, when we see God at work, let's praise God for his power that's at work among us. Amen. I'm going to have you bow your heads. We're going to have some time for you to respond today. God works among us, but we have to respond. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus, and you need to respond in a positive way. You need to come and someone will talk to you about inviting Jesus into your life, giving him control of your life, and you'll glorify God through that. There may be others here that need to come and just pray about how God is at work. There'll be somebody here to pray with you as well. There may be some of you here that need to come and join your membership with this fellowship, with this body of Christ here as we seek to glorify God, as we see his power work among us. However you need to respond, you respond. I'm going to pray and then we're going to stand and sing, and this is your time to respond to God today. Father, again, I thank you. I thank you that in your infinite power that you've chosen to work through us, your finite people. And I pray that you just help us to continue to move forward in faith, trusting you to take each step of the way and giving you the glory and praise for all that you do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, sing. This is your time to respond.
Lord,
I need to give you a quick update on our building project because a number of people have asked me, and I just need, I realize we hadn't communicated as well as we should have. We did get preliminary approval of our site plan. There were five issues that they wanted us to deal with. Four of them are minor. One had to do with landscaping, one had to do with the location of the dumpster, one had to do with the location of the handicap parking, and one had to do with the height of the steeple, which they acknowledged was their problem because they didn't have the right ordinances in place to deal with that. The big issue that I would ask you to pray about is they ask us to do a traffic study, and that could turn out well or it could turn out to be an expense. So if you would pray about that, that's the one issue. I understand that they moved up our meeting for the final site plan. We were supposed to meet again with the Planning Commission, and the Township Board is actually going to look at it on October 7th. So if you will pray for that, it's moving forward. It's actually moving forward than we thought, maybe than some of us, better than some of us thought it would. So you need to continue to pray for that. Christmas choir, if you want to be in the choir and singing the Christmas music, they start rehearsal today at 4 o'clock, right, over at the Ops Center. And then I let you know this. Next Sunday, we'll be continuing Ephesians, but you know, like most books in the New Testament, most of Paul's letters starts with the theological. That's the first three chapters, and then it goes to the practical. So we're going to start in chapter 4, and we're going to move from theology to real practical living. And we're going to be thinking about living for Jesus. And so for the rest of the year until we get to Christmas time, we're going to be working through Ephesians and thinking about how we live for Jesus. So I promise you it will be practical. It may be too practical. You may go, oops, you know, but I promise you we're going to be thinking practically about how we live for Jesus. Good to see you all here today. Why don't you stand together? We're going to pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this great day you've blessed us with. These extra couple weeks of summer. I pray that you'll be with us throughout this week. Let us keep in our hearts, our memory, the lessons we've learned, the preaching we've heard today, and just may we be a blessing to each other and to everyone else as we go throughout the week, Lord. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.